Recite a salawat, please. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله الطاهرين الطيبين Okay. So this one is supposed to be a workshop. There are certain ingredients that I would like to cover and talk about in regards to them being halal or haram and what we can consume and what we can't. And also certain principles that are important to note on where we can eat at or what type of places we can trust for meat, for instance, and so on and so forth. But it's going to be interactive, okay? So I want you guys, if there's any questions, number one, when I'm speaking, if something you feel is not clear, please mention that right then so we can try to clear it up. I may ask you some questions as well, and you better have some real answers for me. Okay, so having said that, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The first thing is about meat. Now this may, I don't know about your community, this is the first time I'm visiting Dallas, but a lot of the communities that I've gone to, a lot of the youth that I've spoken to have got certain issues and concerns. There's different perspectives that are given in regards to what meat can be taken, what meat cannot be taken. For instance, if there's a halal meat store that claims to be halal, can we take from it? Can we not take from it? What are the principles there? If there's a restaurant that has opened up, people raise doubts. Some say you can eat there, some say you can't eat there. Some people say that, oh, we've checked them out. They really don't know how to slaughter, or they get their meat from Safeway or Giant or something. Others say no. What are some of the principles? Okay, what are some of the principles that we have in this regard? Does anybody want to help out here? What are some of the principles? If there is a halal meat shop that opens up next door and claims that the meat is halal, what type of research or what type of approach should we have towards that? Halal means permissible to eat.
So animal can be permissible, but it may not have been slaughtered. Is that halal? It's not zabiha.
Well, you tell me, if the animal is halal but it hasn't been slaughtered, is it halal or is it not?
No, it's not.
Okay.
So I wanted to make that distinction clear because some of the stores, they will say it's halal.
It's halal pig, huh? I hope they don't do that. So, assuming that they are claiming at least that this is beef or it's lamb or it's chicken or turkey or llama. There's a brother that was insisting that I need to taste some of that in Seattle. See, I said, okay, inshallah, next time. Whatever. Halal animal that can be eaten if slaughtered properly. Now you have a place that's opened up and says, they say that it's halal. What type of an approach can we take towards them? Do we have a right to question that? Right now I'm asking the question, so I'm going to turn that back to you guys. Do we have a right to question that? What is that? No, the sister was saying if it's a Muslim, what? Okay. Okay. So, I'll repeat that. I don't know if we want to keep going back and forth with this mic. Sister is saying that if it's a Muslim that is practicing and they're claiming that they've slaughtered this animal themselves, then what right do we have to question that? Who agrees with that? You agree with that? Okay. All right, there's a lot of people that didn't raise their hand. So we're supposed to question that?
No.
Yes or no? You would ask them what's their definition of dhabiha.
Now they have extended the definition of dhabiha.
Now they've extended it.
Yeah. Machine gun, with pipe, with tape, they all consider it dhabiha.
Machine cut with what?
With the tape recorder.
With a tape recorder saying Allahu Akbar. You shouldn't ask. Okay. So if it's a Muslim, we shouldn't ask.
Muslim and not doing openly sin and he's not considered a negligent person and not a law, whatever. Reasonable person, I think we can make this question.
Okay. Has anybody here been to to the UK? Anybody been to the UK? Okay. You know, Walmart bought this place in the UK called Asda. Okay. So Asda is actually Walmart. Sometimes they put that on there as well. Now here, if you walk into Walmart, the super centers, you're not going to find halal meat on their shelves. Okay. But if you go, at least I haven't seen it here, but if you go to the UK, you walk into Asda, you'll have halal meat on their shelves. Okay. What do you do there? You go to the equivalent of Walmart Supercenter in the UK, or if they had Walmart here having and providing halal meat. And it says, what is that?
They have it at Costco.
They have it at Costco. Oh yeah, I heard chicken though.
No, lamb and beef.
Lamb and beef.
They get it from Australia.
From Australia, okay. Okay, great. Okay, so you find that chicken, and in Costco, what are you supposed to do with that? So if I may summarize, you're saying that you contacted the company and they said that they do provide this company with...
No, no, no. I received a specific email from the slaughtering company, which is a Muslim company, and they said that they provide this.
Okay.
And they're the one who said, going to Walmart.
It's going to be going to Walmart. Okay. All right. So these different scenarios I mentioned for you guys to think about and see how we're going to approach it. Now I hope I've provoked enough thinking in regards to that. I want to give you some of the Islamic principles that we have based on the fatwa of the Maraja, their understanding of the different ahadith that we have related to this. There are two scenarios that the ruling should be pretty clear. Okay? Scenario number one. If for whatever reason, we come to the understanding, we are absolutely certain that this meat before us is halal. Okay. Maybe we saw them slaughtering it. Maybe someone that we really trusted said that. Maybe a company that we trust very well said that. Maybe an organized, that doesn't matter. We are absolutely sure that this meat is halal and slaughtered Islamically. Okay. Is there any question on how we're going to deal with that? Any question? I think it's pretty clear. You can eat it. I'm saying, if you know that the meat is the dhabiha, even if the owner of the store is Christian, can you take it or not?
No.
Why not? If you know it's halal.
Who cut it? The Christian people?
I'm saying the assumption is you know it's halal.
Halal from where?
For whatever reason. No, maybe is a different thing. I'm not saying why, okay? Saying for whatever reason, maybe I know the store owner, he's Christian, but I lived my life with him, I know where he buys his meat. He buys it from my other friend who's a Muslim, okay? And I'm absolutely sure, 100% sure that this is halal, okay? You can eat it. If you're 100% sure it's on the counter in Asda, in Walmart, somewhere else, for whatever reason, okay, because certainty is subjective, you may see the evidence, you're not certain. You have a lot of doubt. I may see it, I may be certain. Okay? It's subjective.
All maraja or what? Different marja.
All maraja, it's crystal clear. If anyone is sure that it's dhabiha, then you can eat it. I don't see where the question lies. If you're 100% sure it's dhabiha, how can you not take it? You're sure? If you have a question, if you have doubt whether it's dhabih or not, and they're claiming that's not what I'm talking about yet. I'm not saying that the person is claiming. I'm saying I am sure for whatever reason. Okay? I'm 100% sure that this is dhabih. It's clear. You can go ahead and eat it. There's no question. If you're 100% sure it's not dhabih, even if it's a brother with a big beard that says this is halal, if I'm 100% sure that this is not halal, I can't eat it, okay? Maybe they consider it halal, whatever. It's between them and God. I can't eat it because I am sure this is not halal, okay? Why am I sure it's not halal? Doesn't matter. It could be different reasons. Maybe I saw them. That brother thought it was halal, but I actually saw it, and I realize that it's not halal, so I can't eat from it. That brother is sure it's halal, he can eat from it. I'm sure it's not halal, I can't eat from it. Okay? So these two scenarios are pretty clear. If we're 100% sure that it is halal, then it's halal. It doesn't matter who the store owner is, whatever that situation is. As long as I'm 100% sure it's halal, I can eat it. If I know for a fact that it's haram, I saw the package, the big G, a giant on that package in the trash can or whatever, and I'm absolutely sure that this meat that the guy has made burgers with is not dhabiha meat, all right, then I can't eat it, even if the guy puts the Quran there, puts his hand on and swears to God that it's halal. If I'm sure that it's haram, then it's haram. I cannot take it, all right? But most of the situations aren't like that. Most of what we deal with is we're not 100% sure if it's halal or 100% because we didn't see it, okay? It's a very, very good chance or a very high probability maybe that it is or it isn't. What's the principle here? The principle here is if there is a Muslim that we have verified they are firstly Muslim, okay? If a person that is Muslim, we're clear on that. There's no question. Okay, because sometimes we may have a question whether this guy is actually Muslim or not. No, if we know that the person is actually Muslim, all right, and they are telling us that this is halal, okay, either they slaughtered it or they bought it from somewhere, they have verified, they say they have verified, they have made sure it's halal. It's dhabiha. Okay. In this case, according to the maraja', you are allowed to eat that meat, okay, regardless of you having a doubt, maybe it's not halal. Maybe their definition of dhabiha is different. The question has been asked even that, for instance, some of the other schools of thought, some of the non-Shia schools of thought, the conditions that they have for dhabiha to be valid are different than ours. Okay, according to their fiqh, we know that they don't have to do certain things. Like in some of the schools of thought, facing the qibla. Okay, that's not a must in some of the schools of thought. Even if we know that that is the case, as long as we're not sure that they slaughtered it in a way that we cannot eat, if it's possible, okay, not probable, not very likely, if it's just possible that maybe they did it the way we consider it halal, it's fine, you can eat it, okay. So in other words, you don't have to go and ask them, as long as they're Muslim, you don't have to go and ask them, what's your definition of dhabiha? Okay. You don't have to go and ask them, do you do machine, do you have a tape on, do you have this, do you have that? That's, none of that is important, okay. As long as they are Muslim, we are allowed to take that meat. I emphasize and I insist on using the word allowed. If someone chooses not to take that, it's up to them, okay? But we are allowed to take that and consider it halal, okay? Creating doubts, maybe this guy's like this, maybe that guy is like that, and so on and so forth, none of that is going to be a reason for us not to take from that meat. Or, God forbid, even if we want to take precaution, if we think, okay, it's fishy, I want to be on the safe side, which I'll have something to say around in regards to that precaution, it's not a good idea to keep, you know, creating suspicion in people's minds about these different places, okay? If you want to take precaution, great, do so, okay? But don't make it difficult for other people. Let them go and have their food at that restaurant or at that meat place. That's absolutely fine. You don't have to worry about it. They don't have to worry about it. Okay. There's only one thing that Ayatollah Khamenei says on his website in the Q&A there. And they say that if a Muslim tells you that it's halal, but you're pretty sure that that's not correct, whether you think that they're lying or their information is not valid, you're not necessarily accusing them of lying, but if you have a very good chance, maybe like 70-80% chance in your mind that what they're saying is not actually correct, it's not actually dhabiha. In such a case, they say, without verification, he says, without verification, you can't take that meat, okay? So only in a case where there's a very good chance in your mind that it's not dhabiha, that's when you're not allowed to take it, okay? Otherwise, if it's just possible, you have doubt, you have 50-50, you're still able to take it. Okay. Yes.
Well, in that case, like in most restaurants, there's a lot of restaurant people.
Okay.
If there's some verification that we have done, let's say that the way they slaughter the meat is not according to the correct way. So when you go to the restaurant, they would say, well, we get some restaurant people, that'd be it. But now we know, but they already know that they're.
But you didn't have to ask them. Why did you even ask them if they get it from Restaurant Depot or not? You didn't have to ask them. If they're Muslim, they say it's halal, you don't have to ask them. Okay, we have no responsibility to ask them. And if you ask, please don't share that information with me. Okay. Okay. No, I didn't hear any restaurant name, okay? And I haven't done that research on Restaurant Depot, by the way, so I'm not, I still have my doubt.
Song going.
It's a good question. Brother mentioned two concerns. One is that a question was sent to one of the Maharaja and they asked, the question was the following, that if there is meat or leather that we are not sure if it's dhabiha or non-dhabiha, what are we supposed to do? And they said, you need to take precaution. And the second concern is that, well, sometimes, you know, you go into a store and if everything seems to be Islamic, they have beards, for instance, they have, I don't know, a picture of Quds there, or something that shows they're actually religious, that's something we can trust. But if we go in there, we see those liquor bottles even there, or we see, you know, there's really bad music going on, they have women without hijab, the guy doesn't have a beard, and, you know, it doesn't seem too Islamic of an environment, then that creates doubts in our minds. In regards to the first concern, that question, if you bring it, that's not, the way the question is asked isn't that if we find, if a Muslim gives it to us, okay. If I see some meat lying around, or I get a product, it's a packaged food or whatever, and it says it has meat in it, and you didn't get it from a Muslim, you just found it somewhere, you don't know where this was made. In that case, you definitely have to take precaution. That's the other part that we haven't gotten to yet. But if a Muslim has given it to you, if you send it to whichever of the Maharaja, they will respond to you and say that unless proven otherwise, you're going to take it as halal. Okay, that's in regards to the first question. Regards to the second question, again, if you want to take precaution, that's your choice. But in terms of the fatwa, that very question has been asked. What if we go to this restaurant and they say they have that big halal thing there, but they're playing, I don't know, rock music and... if they play that at all, and what is that? They do, okay. And you know, they have even al-ayadu billah, God forbid, they have belly dancers, because in the UK sometimes they do have that, these Arab restaurants, so-called Muslim restaurants. They have that there, so they have that, they have the liquor, all of that there. But I know that the store owner is Muslim, okay? But I know the guy is Muslim. And he says it's halal, you can take it, okay? You can take it. If you don't like to, that's your choice. All right, that's fine. But if someone wants to take it, they're not committing a sin. If it causes you to be 100% sure that they're lying, that's a different story. Okay, but as long as there's a possibility that maybe they're actually telling you the truth, you can take it. You're allowed to take it. Okay, the question is, if the Maharaja are saying it's okay, then is it all right for me to take precaution, or should I just say it's okay? Precaution isn't something that would be going against that fatwa. I'm saying, okay, it is halal, but I don't feel comfortable. My choice, right? I don't feel comfortable from eating this place, okay, or taking meat from this place. I'd rather go to a place where I'm a lot more confident that the meat is actually halal, okay? Your preference, that's fine, you can do that.
Some people
okay.
Think that, you know, it's not that fatwa or whatever, but because I don't feel like really eating, I think it's like a falling kind of a nafs or the inner feeling rather than your more...
No, I want to say this. Look, sometimes there are legitimate concerns about it, okay? For instance, although again, the black and white halal and haram is that it's possible, and that's important, I'll emphasize on that. It's allowed, you can have it, but... If I were told that this store, the owner is Muslim, we verify that, but I see, you know, the music going on, the women in there, the liquor and all of that, like, you know what, you can have all your meat, I'll go shop somewhere else, okay? I'd rather shop from a different place, okay? That may be a good concern. It's better to try to shop at a place where the people are more religious. We want to support them, okay? But at the same time, we can't enforce that, all right? You can't make life difficult on people. If there are people that want to go and buy it, you can't say, oh, you shouldn't be doing that, it's haram, this, that, the other. No, they can go and buy it. You want to encourage them to go out and buy it, or there's, you know, and introduce them to another place that's more religious, that's fine. But to, you know, push people, take away that option from them, it's better not to do that, all right?
know they're considered Muslims, but you don't really know what they're
particular sects. There may be certain issues you would have to probably ask the office of the marja if they would define that person as a Muslim. But usually their definition of Muslim is anyone who testifies and accepts the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the prophethood of our prophet as the last prophet. Okay, anyone who has that is considered Muslim.
I have a question.
Usually that's how they define it.
Sorry, the brothers were taking over. So there was some of us, we emailed an alim, I don't remember which one, about whether you eat food that's unintentional, you don't get, it's not considered a sin because you didn't know that it was haram. So, but he did say that even though you didn't know and it doesn't count against you as a sin, but the effects that it has on your spirituality, that still, does stay there for however many days, like 40 days, I believe was the number. So, I mean, I understand, like, the fiqh and the laws, you can't eat it. But what about the fact that, it still does affect your spirituality? And I know we're talking about trying to get to that spiritual capacity and intellectual capacity. But what if all of this hinders it, especially because we live in the West and, we don't know if we are eating, halal or not?
That's a good question that I wanted to address. Of course, I think it had a comment in there as well, not just a question. But some of the scholars disagree with that. There are two views in regards to the effect that this meat may have, even if technically, according to the legal rulings of Islam, it's halal. All right, is this still going to have an effect on us spiritually or not? If this was actually not slaughtered Islamically, but this Muslim, for whatever reason, maybe they made a mistake, maybe God forbid they lied and they told us it's halal, and we went ahead and took it and we ate it. Okay. Is the effect still going to be there or not? There are two different views. There are some of the scholars that take a very precautionary approach towards all of this. Even in the Islamic Republic of Iran, they don't buy chicken from the store. They go and make sure it's killed by one of the believers that they trust, okay, just to make sure that the meat that they eat is so-called halal, as they mention. Let me finish this and then I'll take your question. It's okay. All right, so this is one approach. If we want to take this approach, a couple of points that come to mind. All right, if it's really the case that if it's really not slaughtered Islamically, or if it's in what they call actually haram, it's going to have that effect. I think it's better if we pack up and leave. Okay, if they think that they want to practice that, because the packaged food that you get, how much of that is the possibility? Maybe some of that touched something that was najis. Okay, it's going to have an effect. All right, if we take that approach. Somebody's hand got cut in the process. It's halal. Everything was halal. But their finger just got cut. A little bit of blood got onto that. And it made the whole thing najis, right? It's possible. So that could be there. And that has an effect on the soul, even if you don't know about it. So if that's the case, then it's better if we live in a village and we raise our, we have our own crops. Make sure no haram money is involved in raising them. And then buy our own eggs somewhere that we know it's actually not haram, money and stuff, and then raise them, and then have more chickens, and then every once in a while maybe kill one of them, and lamb and all of that the same way. This type of approach, as I said, I know this. Okay, I know there are scholars, I have spoken, they have mentioned this to me. They don't buy meat even in the Islamic Republic of Iran. Okay, they don't trust it. The other view, Allama Tabatabai, may Allah bless his soul, he has a book, a very interesting book. And by the way, that first view, there's a lot of people, most of the scholars that I've seen out here in the West are of that camp. Okay, I was under that influence for quite some time as well. Okay, and it really makes life difficult. Okay. I don't want to name some of the scholars that I know. They're very good people. That's one view. Okay, but like practically speaking, if we really want to adhere to that, the consequence is that you can't eat anything, because that possibility is always there. Okay, if the effect is going to be there spiritually anyway, then the possibility is always going to be there. All right, so it's better to avoid everything. The other view, what Allama Tabatabai has in his book called Risalatul Wilaya, it's been translated. I think one of the brothers from Australia has translated. I think it's Sheikh Zayd Salami who has translated Risalatul Wilaya of Allama Tabatabai. I haven't read the translation to know how good of a translation it is, but I think it should be a good translation, knowing the brother, one of my good friends. There, what he says is the principle, and this can be backed up by many verses and hadith, the principle in getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or moving away from Him is ubudiyah and isyan, okay? Worship or obedience and disobedience, all right? And he gives examples. He says, if you know or if you don't consider, you don't see, you don't know something is wajib on you, and you do that act, you don't know it's mustahab, you don't know it's liked by God, without having the intention of obedience to Allah, if you perform that act, it will not have a positive effect on you. And if something is actually haram, and you didn't know it's actually haram, and you committed that act, it is going to have zero effect on your soul. Okay. Only if you know something is haram and you commit that, which then it would become an act of disobedience, that's when it's going to have a negative effect on your soul. And only if you perform an act out of and with the intention of obedience, knowing that it's something that God has wanted you to do, that's when it's going to have a positive effect. Okay. So according to Allama Tabatabai, and many of his students have insisted and emphasized, the spiritual students that are teaching in Qom and Tehran, they emphasize to their students, as long as you don't know, the Sharia has said, you're okay. The hadith says, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ لَكَ حَلَالٍ حَتَّى تَعْرِفَ أَنَّهُ or تَعْلَمَ أَنَّهُ حَرَامٌ بِعَيْنِهِ. Everything is halal unless you know it is haram in particular. Of course, that hadith applies to other cases. In this case, we have the issue of it being maybe non-dhabiha and non-Muslims giving it to us. So all of those ahadith put together, if a Muslim gives it to us, we are allowed to take it. We are supposed to consider it halal. In fact, we have, if you refer to Tahrir al-Wasila of Imam Khomeini or any of the other maraji, if they have mentioned the makruhat as well, they say that it's actually makruh to ask the person where they got this meat from. If it's a Muslim and they're saying, you've gone, I remember this thing becomes such a problem. I remember brothers going over other people's homes, not eating the food. I don't know where this guy got his meat from. Or this guy usually shops at this store and I'm not sure of that. I'm going to stick to the vegetarian food. This is definitely against Islamic teachings, okay? There are so many other things that we're supposed to take precaution on, and we are committing open sin on them. And when it comes to this issue, we're so precautious. Okay, this is not right. This is not what Islam doesn't want you to spend your entire life on whether this meat is halal or haram. There are certain principles. You have brothers telling you this is halal, go ahead and eat it. Focus on the other areas of your practice. Don't focus on the meat. Okay. All right.
The same rule applies at the center also. So if I'm bringing,
of course, at the center even more so. Like if anybody doesn't eat, just shove that meat down their throat. That was a joke, of course. Please don't actually do that. Yes.
What about shellfish?
Shellfish? Yeah. In I didn't get to fish yet, but since it's pretty simple, we'll mention. According to the dominant majority of the maraja, I only know one who passed away who had a different view. They say from seafood or the animals in the sea, we can only have fish with scales on them and shrimp. That's it. No lobster, no crab, no what else, oysters, none of that. What is that? Let's continue that conversation. If I want to answer all of those questions related to that, okay, it's going to take all of the session. That question has been asked from these scholars, and they have an answer for it. I don't want to take up the whole session about that spiritual effect. If you have questions regarding that, we can cover that, inshallah, after this session. But all of those questions have been asked, and there's been answers for that. Okay, that's the last one. Remember, we said if you're sure that it's halal, we know what we're going to do with that. If we're sure it's haram, we know what we're going to do with that. If we're doubtful, we said if a Muslim comes, you don't even question, you can take it. All right? If a non-Muslim, in that same scenario, it's a non-Muslim that says this is halal. All right? And remember, I'm not sure either way yet. Okay? I'm still in doubt. They just have that big poster there saying that it's halal. I, assuming that I have doubt, I can't take it. All right? I cannot take that from them. Now, as I said, certainty is subjective. I may walk into that store, I see that badge, I know the company, I know the organization that has certified that, and I know if they have that there, it's definitely halal. Okay, if you have that certainty, it doesn't matter who the store owner is. Okay, you can go ahead and take it from them. With only one thing about Hindus, and that is, because Hindus are not considered tahir, there's another issue of najasa and tahara which we'll deal with afterwards, inshallah. Okay? So, if I'm not sure, and it's a non-Muslim telling me that it's halal, and I'm still not sure after they've told me that it's halal, I can't take it from them. Okay? So, if you have that stuff in Costco or wherever, because in Maryland too, they told me, they called me a few months ago for this chicken from New Zealand or Australia or I don't know where it was produced. And it said that it's organic and it's halal. Okay. And they were saying, can we buy it? Can we not buy it? So on and so forth. Look, the store owners are not Muslim. If you can verify that the producers are actually Muslims, you're okay. If you can't verify if the producers are Muslim or not, and you have a doubt, you can't take it from them. But if you're sure, for whatever reason, it's between you, it's subjective. If you're actually sure that it is halal, for whatever reason, you can take it from them.
Well, this question was raised earlier some time back. So we did some research. Actually, if you go to, I guess, Australian government website, it says that all beef and lamb from Australia is halal because they serve it to all the other different countries. Mm.
I have spoken to, this is a good point to know, and it's also related to leather as well, okay? We should know, most of, now the brother is saying all of, I would have to, like, personally, some of the contacts that I have, I'm not sure if they had said all or much of, but a lot of, at least, if not all of, the meat that is produced in Australia is halal. The Muslims take care of that. New Zealand as well. For New Zealand, 80% of it, I know there's a brother from New Zealand that's in Qom, 80% of their production is halal. Denmark, all of their chicken is halal, although they don't say that because they don't want to scare their people off by saying this is halal. Okay. I think in Thailand, also the production is halal. In many other countries as well, meat production. In Brazil, there's a lot of it that is produced as halal, all right? And that's good to know. But, again, if we have doubt, we can't take it unless we have a Muslim telling us, the Muslim that has bought it and tells us that it's halal, we can take it. Okay. Yes. That's a good reason if because of that, you are sure that it's halal, go ahead. That could be a reason. And as I said, certainty is subjective, okay? I may know the laws and I may think to myself, well, although that's true, but there's a lot of loopholes that they can escape the law as well. For instance, okay? So I'm not sure, but you are sure. If you're sure, you can go ahead. But if I'm not sure, I can't take it, okay? It's subjective. When it comes to certainty, it's subjective. Yes? Okay. Good question. If the if they're serving meat here, they've brought it, they've cooked it, whatever, they want to serve it, and then somebody comes up and says, you know, that meat from there is haram. What are they supposed to do? What that brother has said, with all due respect, is not going to cause us to consider that haram just because somebody said it. When the place we bought it from, were they Muslim or not? Yes. This brother is saying it's haram. Okay, we're not sure that it's haram. Maybe this brother is making a mistake. Okay. We can still take it. Whoever is not certain that it's haram can continue eating it. Whoever, because of this brother saying it or whatever, is absolutely sure that it's haram, they can't eat it. Well, I would suggest to that brother, let the people eat it and then afterwards tell them. Okay? Because as long, no, seriously, as long as the people don't know, it's not haram for them, let them be. I don't know why we have this urge, you know, make sure we go and prove that we don't need to.
Only in food.
Yeah, I mean, we have loads of other issues. Why aren't we so adamant about going and, you know, posting those pictures up and telling people avoid these Israeli products or this product or the other product? Or when it comes to meat, I just don't. Anyway, okay, I think we spent enough time on this meat. That's what I. That's what the sister mentioned, and I tried to answer. There's two schools of thought. Some of the ulama say that it does. Some of the ulama say it doesn't. I prefer this group, and I say it doesn't. Okay. But you have your choice. You can follow whichever you like. All right. A couple of other things. One which is very easy, but a lot of people don't know. If grapes or grape juice comes to a boil, it becomes haram for us to eat. According to most of the maraja, it's not najis, but it's haram for us to eat. Now, I don't want to tell you all the products that have that in it. I have no business in doing that. Some of the very, very good tasting things that I really liked, I realized they have grape juice that has been boiled, and I cannot have them anymore. So I'm going to let you enjoy those foods. But some of them that are clear, if you have grape jelly, okay, or jam or preserves or whatever, that actually has natural flavoring, they have grape juice in it, grapes or grape juice was part of that process, then that's not halal, okay, because you have to cook that, it comes to a boil, it becomes haram, you cannot eat that, all right? Sorry. All right, don't kill me. I take it back. Yes.
No more peanut butter grape jelly, huh? No more peanut butter grape jelly.
Raisins?
Grape jelly.
Yeah, raisins, I think only Ayatollah Bahjat, from what I know, considered that also haram. But the other maraja don't consider that haram. If it's raisins that are cooked, they don't consider that haram. Is it natural flavoring or is it artificial? Artificial doesn't have grape juice in it. Okay. If it's natural flavoring, if it has grapes, see, even if it's not, I don't know what natural flavoring exactly means to these. The ruling is this. Grapes or grape juice, not raisins. Raisins are a different story. There's a difference of opinion on that. But grapes, if they come to a boil, or grape juice, if it comes to a boil, it's haram. We cannot have it until 2/3 of the water evaporates. Okay? Which usually that doesn't happen. Yeah, it takes a long time to have that. See, there could be different ones. That's why I can't say, yeah, all the grape jellies that are out there, some of them could be completely artificial. Okay, I don't know. I'm telling you, if that has grape juice or grapes that have boiled in it, it's haram.
How do we find out?
That's up to you. Yes. Yeah. Not necessarily, because they have additional ingredients there, like pectin or other product that they add to it to make it come to that form. Otherwise, 2/3 of the water hasn't evaporated. Yeah. 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 If 2/3 of the water evaporates, it's halal time. They have grape syrup, okay? Grape syrup is something that's found all over the Middle East. That's fine, okay? Because they make sure 2/3 of the water evaporates before they give it. Sometimes a lot more than just 2/3. Okay. Yes? If it's left to ferment, then it definitely is haram. There's no question on that. But even if it's not left to ferment, if you boil it for any other purpose, once it comes to a boil, it's haram. Okay.
What about grape juice you have to pasteurize it? That's like when you heat it up until the germs die and then you move it back down?
Yeah.
So what about that?
There's a question, let me mention, there's a question about pasteurized grape juice. What do we do with that? Is that okay or is that not? I haven't done research on that. A sister in Qom said she did research, at least in the UK, and they said the temperature that it reaches is not boiling point. Okay? It doesn't reach boiling point. And if you don't know, if you have doubt if it has boiled or not, you're okay. Yeah.
What about just the juice? Regular juice?
Regular grape juice is fine. Yeah. Okay. Next is, well, gelatin. Oh no. Oh no. Is there any armor here? Bulletproof vest or something? Yeah. I remember before I went to the house, that was one of the things. One year we would hear it's halal, next year we would hear it's haram. Next year again it's halal, the following year again it's haram. So what the heck is going on here? What is that?
It has been like that
all year. Oh. Okay. Look. Gelatin, okay. If it's from animals, all right, let's start with this. They take the bones, the cartilage of the animal, whether it's pig or it's beef or whatever animal it is. They have a solution. Sometimes it's water, sometimes it's a form of acid. They put it in that solution, okay? Then what they do is they have to heat it. They heat it a little bit to have the bones release that protein that is referred to as gelatin, okay? Then when they do that, they take the bones and the cartilage out of that, throw it away, and you have this solution that contains the proteins. And they heat it more and more until it turns into paste, more of that water or that solution evaporates, until that turns into a paste. Once it's a paste, they roll it out, okay? It dries up. Once that happens, then they either break it up and turn it into powder and they sell it, or they use it, or they have the sheets sometimes that they sell. Okay, this is the process. It took me, I don't know how many days to find out exactly how they produce this, because The reason why I explain this is the only way that gelatin would become halal and permissible for us to eat is something called istihala. Okay. Istihala is where something transforms to something completely different. Okay. For instance, a clear example that everybody accepts is where if you have a piece of wood that is najis, okay, if you burn it into ashes, you take those ashes, all right, are they najis or not? They say no. That's a clear instance of istihala, all right? There's a discussion as to what exactly is istihala. The definition that you'll find in the different risalas is going to be the same. You won't find a difference of opinion on what the definition of istihala is. However, when it comes to the application of it, there are many differences of opinion. For instance, some believe that wood turning into coal is istihala. Others believe it's not. Some believe, like out of the previous generation of ulama, I think Imam Khomeini, Ayatollah Khui, and out of the current generation, Ayatollah Khamenei, believes that evaporation is a form of istihala. Okay? But according to Ayatollah Sistani, that's not a form of istihala. Alright? So when it comes to the application of it, there's difference of opinion. I don't want to spend too much time on this concept of istihala, but the point is, if you have this product that is an animal product, the only way you would be able to eat it is that if it goes through istihala. The only part of this process that may resemble istihala is a chemical change that happens when this protein is released. Okay. Now, I don't want to discuss whether that's istihala or not, because it does not matter. Even if it is istihala, where is that protein released in? The solution. The solution has the bones in it. That entire solution is najis. You take the bones out, some of the water evaporates, turns into paste, you roll it out, there's no istihala afterwards, okay? So that whole thing is najis, okay? And therefore, gelatin is haram, unfortunately. Sorry. Animal, that's a good thing. See, animal gelatin is haram, all right? Now, the leeway that you may get is, if they've started using the word gelatin to refer to all forms of gelatin, because they do take gelatin from fish as well, okay? And they take it, well, back in the days at least, from what I remember, what I was told at least, the vegetarian form of it was actually referred to as pectin, not gelatin. But I've heard that they're using gelatin to refer to that as well. I don't know. Okay, that's up to you guys. If the word gelatin includes not only land animal gelatin, if it can include vegetarian forms or the one derived from fish, okay, if that is the case and you don't know which source it's from, you are technically allowed to have that gelatin. Okay. Kosher gelatin, I am told, I haven't done full research, I am told that's from fish. Okay. But I'm not 100% sure. If that's true, then that you can have that. You don't need to, because there's the issue of najasat is not there. Okay? The issue of najasat is not there. It's not really. And also, I don't know, somebody had, I think I remember somewhere, someone doing a research that they do use, I think, the fish, for the most part at least, fish with scales on it. And if they use a combination, all right, if they use a combination, because you don't know what percentage of it and you're not sure if it's from the halal or the haram, that doubt is sufficient to allow you to have it. Okay. The same rule applies to it. Gelatin itself is not allowed. If that's the only source that can bring the cure and you know, there is no substitute for it, and it's a serious illness or disorder or whatever it is, we need to take that medication, then that's one of the exceptions, right? It's, if it's a necessity, then it's a necessity. But usually eating, I don't know if Skittles have them in it or not, but some of those, they don't. Thank God, yes. They changed it? Thank God. When did this happen? How come nobody told me? I've avoided Skittles for such a long time. Oh God, I want to buy a pack tonight. In yogurt? If it's animal gelatin, because it's also najis, okay, then that becomes a serious issue. If you add it to yogurt, it's going to make the whole thing najis, right? As I said, look, you have to look at the word gelatin and see if gelatin is used for all the other forms that are substitutes. Because the original form of gelatin is actually from animal. These are new, I think, products that are coming out. They're using fish or other substitutes. Okay, if they use the word gelatin to refer to all of those, if that's become common, and you don't know, I don't know. That's your research.
Well,
okay.
The labeling requirement for gelatin is it has to be mentioned. If it is only gelatin, it is always animal.
Okay. Okay. That's what the brother says. He's one of the experts in the field. And if it's kosher, then it's kosher. It's from fish. If it's regular gelatin, then it's from animal. But everybody can do their own research. That's up to them. Whether they want to take the word or not, that's up to you. You have to go and do the research yourself. Technically, if you have a doubt if it's from animal or not, but if you know it's from animal, because the percentage of all of the bones being used for that being from dhabiha animal is so slim that it's not even worth mentioning, you have to consider it najis. Yeah, I'm going to talk. That's the next product. Any questions on gelatin?
Yeah, yes, I have a question. We have a question here about products that come from Pakistan and India. There's like halal marshmallows and they have gelatin, and they were saying that since in India, I guess the Hindus there, they don't eat the cow, so they're all considered halal. I mean, how does the gelatin work when it comes from overseas?
Gelatin, in terms of it being halal or haram or najis, is exactly like meat, okay? So what we said is when you buy something here from non-Muslims, from a non-Muslim company that says it has gelatin in it, you can't consider it halal. But if it's a Muslim that is producing it, and it's possible that they got it from halal, dhabiha, that's fine. You can take it from them. Okay. Any other questions on gelatin? Okay. Next product or next ingredient that we have is rennet. Rennet, yes. Rennet that is used in cheese. Okay. No. I love my cheese. Yeah. Okay. There is some good news in regards to rennet. I'll get to that. But first, the bad news. Okay, first, the bad news. Up to, I think, a year ago maybe, if you referred to the Rasalas of the Maraja, or if you've sent a question in about rennet, they would say rennet, even if it's from an animal that has not been slaughtered Islamically, it is halal. Okay. But that was not accurate. Because what they're referring to as rennet, what they're referring to as, actually in the Arabic language, they refer to it as infaha. In the fiqh books, they discuss what they're going to consider infaha. And they conclude that infaha is the content of the stomach of a kid or a lamb, basically that milk that it's had from its mother, it's curdled into something like cheese, similar to cheese. That is something that is tahir and halal. But the stomach itself, they don't consider that halal. All right. What they refer to, the content of the stomach, they refer to that as infaha in Arabic in the fiqhi discussions. And then the equivalent that they've put in dictionaries for infaha in English is rennet. So they kept saying that, okay, is rennet okay? They would translate rennet to infaha, like, yeah, infaha is okay. But what they are talking about is infaha is different than what they use here. Because if you refer to any encyclopedia, the way they make their rennet here is that they actually take a lining of the stomach, they put it into a solution, again,